What am I doing? I'm just waiting. What are you waiting on? Well, I don't know. I know who I'm waiting on, but I don't know what I'm waiting on. Glory to God. It's how many knows if he doesn't show up, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the work, right? Jesus himself said, it's not me that does the works. He said, but it's the Father in me. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said that we would do greater works than he did. He said, because I go to the Father. He said, and I'll send back the Holy Ghost, right? So he's the one that we have to wait on, because the Bible says in John 15, I believe it is, it says, apart from him, we can do how much? Nothing. And you might say, well, I can work and I can talk and I can plant flowers. He's not talking about all that. He's talking about things that's going to change things, that's going to be eternal, that's going to be lasting. I can't heal one person. You can't heal one person. I can't give you one word of knowledge. But how many knows he can? He can. So he's the one that we have to wait on. Why do we have to wait on him sometimes? I don't know, really. Are y'all praying for the services before you come? It would be very good if you do. Glory to God. We should always pray for the services, because God always has a plan of what he wants to do. He doesn't just ask us to meet here just to fill time and space and something that we do or whatever, right? When we read in the Bible, in the book of Acts, whenever they would gather together, he would be there and he would move. There would be different times that the whole house would be shaken, and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you go back over to Acts chapter 2, all of them were filled already with the Holy Ghost. But then when you go on over a few books later, the Bible says, as they prayed, the Spirit of the Lord, the house shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It means they was refilled. See, sometimes we think that it's just a one-time filling, but it's not. We're supposed to be continually filled with the Spirit of God at all times. Now, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. The Bible says if you've been born again, the same Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, lives on the inside of you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit, and his name is the Holy Spirit, right? It said he abides within you. But then there's also a separate filling that the Bible talks about. Jesus told him, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem, he said, until you be endued with power from on high. He said, until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit that the Father promised. Well, in Acts chapter 2, as they stayed there and they waited like they told him, the Bible says that the Spirit fell upon each one of them as cloven tongues of fire, and each one of them began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, and I'm telling you, if that's not one thing that the devil has fought, there's whole denominations, whole websites against the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. And people's like, well, I don't know what them tongues is for. Put up Jude, please, Beth. I'm fixing to show you one thing that they're good for. He says, now, the verses before this, there's only one book in the book of Jude. The verses before this, he's talking about people that does not have the Holy Spirit or the Spirit in them. And he goes on and he says, but you, beloved, talking to the Christians, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying how? In the Holy Ghost. See, now it's you that prays. It's my tongue, my vocal cords that's being used, but it's the Spirit of God, according to Acts chapter 2, that gives my spirit utterance. And you might say, well, that sounds like a bunch of gibberish. Well, let me tell you something. The only reason why you speak English is because you was taught English. The only reason that Johnny or somebody else speaks Spanish is because they was taught Spanish. The only reason you speak Portuguese is because you was taught Portuguese. Because, see, now when Johnny speaks Spanish, unless he says a few little small words that I know, I have no clue what he is saying. But does that mean he's not saying something? And there are times that the Holy Spirit can also give you interpretation of what you're praying for. I've had that happen also. Does he always? No, not always. Then I've heard people, they say, well, you know, the Bible says that if you speak in other tongues, you're supposed to have an interpreter, not this tongues. According to Scripture, when you're over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and all of that, he's talking about like if I was standing up here and I was giving out a message in other tongues, that's supposed to be interpreted. Why? Because when I speak in tongues, you're not going to understand it. So then, therefore, somebody else has to have the gift of interpretation according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? One speaks in a tongue, one has an interpretation, all this other stuff, gifts of healings, all those that he lists. So when I speak in other tongues and I'm giving out a message to the congregation, there should be an interpreter somewhere in the congregation. Either I get the interpretation or somebody else, and then they give it, and you get understanding. But see, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ, they're way too intellectual and very little spiritual. Well, I don't understand it. Well, who said you got to understand it? I don't understand how certain things can happen and a baby be formed in a body and then come out 9 months later, but I know what happens. I don't understand everything about that. I don't understand how you can even be born again. I know how it happens. But far as explaining to you everything that takes place and makes you a new creation in Christ, I don't understand that, but I know it does. So notice what he says there. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. So one of the reasons why that you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and have the gift of speaking with other tongues is to build yourself up. He says, on your most holy faith, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's like putting your battery on a battery charger. Is that not what it said? Ain't that what building up means? You're adding to, right? So every one of us that gets born again, your next step is you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost and you should pray in other tongues. It is the will of God. It's all through the New Testament, from the book of Acts on. The Apostle Paul prayed in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. The whole church. Now, he's talking to some tongue-talking people. I mean, they're talking in tongues so much that they're actually getting in trouble because every time they assemble together as having church, everybody's just praying in tongues and nobody's getting any understanding. That's what that whole chapter is about. He's trying to help them. Listen, they came out from under idol worship, worshiping other gods. They don't know anything about serving God. They don't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit. So therefore, when they're coming together, they're all praying in tongues and it's chaos. How many knows God is not a God of chaos? He's a God of order. And everything the Bible says should be done decently and in order. He says, but every time we come together, every one of us, one should have a psalm, one should have a hymn, one should have a prophecy. Listen, when you have the gift of tongues in operation, somebody gives out tongues, a message in tongues, and somebody interprets it, that is the same as the gift of prophecy, according to Scripture. The Bible says it equals prophecy. Because it builds up, it edifies, it encourages, and it strengthens. None of the gifts of the Spirit will ever take away. They will always add to. It says they are given to profit withal, right? So he says there, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You don't have to understand what you're saying. You don't have to understand what you're doing. It takes faith to pray in other tongues. It takes faith to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It takes faith to believe God that you are a new creation in Christ when you don't see any difference. Do you understand? This whole thing is by faith, every bit of it. And the Bible says, faith which worketh by love. We talked about love last week, how much that God loves us. That God so loved, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son for each one of us, right? When we weren't doing nothing for him, when mankind was lost because he loved us so much. Well, then he says there, faith which worketh by love. When you get the revelation of how, and get deepened on the inside of you of how much God loves you, it's like hooking a battery up to your spirit, to your faith. It energizes your faith. The Bible says if God is for you, then who can be against you? Another translation says if God is for you, who can prevail against you? Is there anybody or anything? No. Why? There's nothing and no one that can prevail against God. See, the days that we live in, the Bible talks about, are evil. There's deception running rampant. I mean, and you've got AI now to where it's hard to tell what's real and what's not real. I mean, they can have you on there doing certain things, and if I didn't know you, I would think that was really you. I'm talking about some ugly stuff. I remember one time that somebody hacked Oney, the pastor of Faith Restoration, and had him on, what was it, YouTube or something other, saying some ugly stuff. But see, we know Oney, so we know that would never be Oney. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because of the deception. The Bible says we are to love truth. The Bible says in Ephesians we are to speak the truth in the love of God that we may grow up into Him in all things. Right? Let's look at some scriptures here. So if you are born again, but you are not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost and you do not speak with other tongues, I would encourage you to begin to ask God, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, just like Jesus promised that you would. Because the days that we live in and the ones that's coming, you're going to need all the help you can possibly get. Now, the Holy Spirit is still there, whether you speak in other tongues or not, to help you, to lead you, to guide you and all that. But that's the benefit of praying in other tongues. The title this morning, I guess I would call this Drinking from the Spirit. Oh, man. Let's look at John. Just put it up on the screen, please, Beth, or whoever. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Let's see what it says here. Maybe that's the one I want. He says, this is Jesus talking. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? He didn't say out here. When he says belly, he's talking about your inner man, your spirit man. He says, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. But this, notice what he says, but this spake he of the Spirit. When you read the word water, a lot of times he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Or when you read the word oil, especially in the Old Testament, he's referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's talking about here. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet ascended to the Father and sent back the Holy Ghost. But notice what he said. He said, if you come to him and you drink, in other words, you come to him and you get born again. He said, in your innermost being, in your belly, on the inside of you, there's going to be, he said, rivers of living water. Well, if that's the case, why am I so thirsty? Read what he said before it. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. I don't know about y'all, but as a Christian, I have gotten thirsty. I've gotten hungry before, and I've gotten thirsty, and I'm not talking about a physical thirst or a physical hunger. Listen, there's nothing in this world, on this world, in this world, not a person that can feel that thirst on the inside of you except Him. There's nothing, anything here on this planet, anybody, no amount of nothing that can feel that hunger on the inside of you except for Him. But he says you got to come to him and you got to drink. Let's look at the next one here. John 4. And I want to read more than that 14, so let me turn over there. I didn't know it at the time, but I believe I want to read more than that. But that is the key verse there. Now, John chapter 4. In the beginning, it's talking about how Jesus, he sent his disciples off to get food and everything, and he's tired and he's thirsty and all of that. And we'll pick this up, I guess, at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, if you're going to draw water out of a well, you got to have something to draw it with. You got to have a bucket, or what is them things like Granny used to have there at that well, that long thing? I don't know what that thing's called, long metal thing. But anyway, you got to have something to draw it with. Right? So he goes on and he says, to draw water, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat or food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which a woman which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, in other words, if she knew who he was, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. The Bible talks about how there is a river that comes out from under the throne of God. And everywhere that river goes, there's life. He's not just talking about this life. Listen, if you're not born again, you're just existing. You are not living. You're just existing. But when you get born again, eternal life, the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, and then you begin to really live. Notice what he says here. Said, you would have asked of him living water. He would have given you living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about the natural. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But notice what he says. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, what? A well. Now the scripture we just got through reading, he said it will be in your innermost being living water. Rivers of living water. Right here he says, in you is going to be a well. What do you have to do to get water out of a well? You have to draw it out. Right? We're going to look at that in just a few minutes of how to do that. Now, he told her, he said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, he says, springing up into everlasting life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to see how to do this now. I think I want to start in verse 17. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now go back up there to verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine, he says, wherein is excess. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Why does he contrast them two? Why does he put wine and drinking wine or being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit in the same category there? Because both of those you're going to come under the influence of. The Holy Spirit is going to influence your thinking. The Holy Spirit is going to influence your behavior. He's going to influence your giving. I mean, every aspect of your life, the Holy Spirit will begin to influence. Wine, when you come under the power of wine, when you begin to drink wine and you begin to get drunk, how many knows, now you begin to come under the influence of that you're drinking of. There's some people, back when I drank, this is years ago before we got saved, if I drank wine, I was a crier. I don't like crying. Scotty's like, yep. I just drank and just boo-hoo and boo-hoo and boo-hoo over absolutely nothing. But then if I would drink liquor, I'm coming under a different influence. I would be a different person. That one, I dance on top of the tables and everything else. Whatever I was influenced to do at the time. Whatever thought or feeling or emotion that I had at the time. You got some people, they drink, oh, and they're just so loving, sweet. Oh, God, I just love you. And they're slobbering at the time. I just love you, just love you. Why are y'all laughing? Been there, done that? Then you got other people when they drink and they become under the influence of that drink. They become very mean. They become very cruel, very ugly, very mean. They'll say things that they never would have said if they wasn't under the influence of that. That's why he's contrasting the two together. Because both of them are going to influence you. Now, one is of the natural, of this natural realm, which is wine. We just say alcohol because it ain't just wine. Alcohol. It's of this realm. You can drink it and drink it enough, it will influence you, but it will never satisfy you. Because you got to do it again, and it still don't fulfill. And you do it again, and it don't fulfill. And the more you do it, the worse you get. But when you come to Him and you begin to drink of that living water, it begins to set you free. It begins to bring you under the influence of the person of who you really was created in God's righteousness and holiness to be. More and more and more. The more you drink of Him, the more you drink of the Holy Spirit, the more you come under His influence, and the more you become like Jesus. It's part of His job to, you was created in the image and likeness of Him, but the thing about that is, it's only in your spirit. Your spirit is recreated in righteousness and true holiness, not your soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, when you get born again, your spirit is recreated in righteousness and true holiness, and He's like God. And now the Holy Spirit is infused in there with your spirit to help you. He's the teacher, right? Because we don't know how to live this life. He's the guide, right? Because we don't know what direction to go according to the plan of God. But yours in your spirit, everything is downloaded on the inside of you that you need to fulfill the complete plan and purpose of God. And if there's anything in the natural that you need, it can be brought to you. Right? Now, the job is that the Holy Spirit begin to dominate us, and then by our own will, we allow Him to. He will not force Himself. He is so gentle, but boy, is He strong. But He begin to dominate us by our own will, our yielding to Him, and then we begin to live dominated by our spirit, not our soul and not our physical body. That's the thing. That's why He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That salvation that has been downloaded into your recreated spirit is to be worked out through my mind. So, Mama, I have to take the Word of God and renew my mind with it according to Romans 12:2. In other places, the Bible says, I believe in Ephesians, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be remodeled, in other words. You don't get rid of your mind. You just remodel. Let the Word of God remodel it. Because, see, if you don't think different, you're not going to change. You're going to still... See, just like this, we used to... If we needed something, if we ever had anything, we didn't have anything much. But anyway, if we ever had anything and we needed money or something, we would just take it to the pawn shop. I have a wedding band, but I don't have my, and I don't wear it right now. But anyway, I don't have the diamond part that went with the set. Reason being, I pawned it to the pawn shop for $40 and we never went back and picked it up. I lost it. So, after we get born again, now God's my Father. He has everything I need. He's given me everything that pertains unto life and godliness according to the Scripture. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. We read last week, He has heaped grace upon grace to me, which is favor and loving kindness, right? He said He would supply all of my needs, but my thinking is when I get in need, I go to the pawn shop. So I'm still going to do what I was doing because my thinking hasn't changed. And then when I do that, there's going to be somebody in here that's going to be like, you should have not have done that. Just should have not have done that. You don't even know why you should have not have done that. But He's in here. He's on the inside. He'll lead, He'll guide. So when we take the Word of God and we renew our minds to everything that I just got through saying, that He has supplied every need that we possibly could have. If you are a tither, put your faith on it. put pressure on the covenant that God made with you. Don't just throw that in there and wait on God to bring it. Listen, there are real devils at every turn trying to stop you from getting the promises of God. When you pray and it seems like your prayers are not getting any further than the ceiling, you got real demons that's there stopping you to getting in the presence of God. God is not withholding himself. He wants a relationship with me and you more than we want a relationship with him, so much that he gave the very best that he had, his son, so we could be brought back into right standing and have a relationship with him, so we could walk and talk with him every day. So it's not him that's keeping you out of his presence. Gosh, y'all getting way too quiet. Just like when you read the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed and he fasted. 21 days he's waiting for an answer. Finally, Gabriel gets through. And he tells Daniel, he said, Daniel, I've come for your words. He said, and you was heard the very minute that you prayed. Why has it taken 21 days for Gabriel, the angel, to get there? He answers the question. He said, you was heard from the beginning of your words. He said, but the prince of Persia, I couldn't get through. An angel of God could not get through with Daniel's answer because there was demons there that was stronger than him fighting him to keep him from getting that answer to Daniel. Do y'all understand this is all takes place in the heavenlies? Just because you don't see them don't mean they're not there. When you read the Bible, they're there. The angels are there. The demons are there. Anything that comes from the throne of God has to get through that second level of heaven before it gets to you. That's one reason why they want you to say words that is not in line with Scripture. That's the reason why they want you to talk bad things about yourself. Say bad things about other people. Because do you realize the demons begin to feed and feast and get stronger on your words and mine? The Bible says, and then you and me are going to be filled with the words that came out of our mouth. Whether to life or whether to death. That's the reason why there's so much pressure on you at different times to say the wrong thing, to say how it feels, because there's demons there putting pressure on your flesh. This is how it is. Say it. This is how it is. Say it. But see, when you renew your mind to the Word of God, you feel all alone, and your mind is renewed, and you know the things that I said, that the Holy Spirit is in there, and you are in right relationship with God. That is not what you say. Against everything that you feel and everything that's coming against you, it comes out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord, that you love me just like you love Jesus. God, you said you'd never leave me. You would never forsake me. You're with me always. If my mother and my father forsake me, God, you never will. You take away their power. You shut the door on them. But if you yield, you're going to strengthen them and you're going to give them power. But anyway, back to the scriptures that I was talking about. Gabriel, the angel that stands before the Lord, he told him, he said, the prince of Persia, he said, he hindered me. But glory to God. He said, but Michael, he said, Michael come and he helped me. So he had to get some angel reinforcement. Sometimes the reason why you ain't got your angels, I mean your word, is because you need some angel reinforcement. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's coming. You was heard the first time you prayed it. He said, but Michael came and he helped me. And that's when Gabriel finally got through with Daniel's word from the Lord, the answer to Daniel's prayer. But it took 21 days. I can't tell you how long it'll take for you. And the thing about it is, as the body of Christ, having all had the same power and authority in the name of Jesus, we should be binding devils. Loosen the Holy Spirit. Yielding to Him. Because see, the thing about it is, the Holy Spirit knows where the traps of the enemy is for you. And you better believe they're out there. But he'll take you, say there's one right there, there's a little hole right there. Say there's one right there, and I mean you're headed right toward it, and you don't even see it. But the Holy Ghost can go, whoop, take a little right turn here, a little left turn, and you go all the way around it. And then those that intended it for you to fall in it, they fall in it themselves, Proverbs says. But see, if you don't look to him, if you don't drink of him, what do I mean by drink? Look what he said there. He tells us how to drink. He says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. That sounds like Philippians 4, don't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, if you're dumb, rejoice. That was for me. Right? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Times that you just feel so far away from God, it's just a feeling. You hear me? It's just a feeling. He's in you. So he cannot be far away from you. He's in you. If you've been born again. So what do you do? When there's times that you feel like God's so far away. When there's times that you feel like you pray and it's just like hitting the ceiling, it's going nowhere. You feel like God is forsaking you. He's not listening to you. That is everything contrary to the Word of God says. Start singing. And if you'll listen, the Holy Ghost and in your spirit, right down in here, there'll be a song starts coming up. Or you wake up in the morning and there's this song, and I ain't talking about Rock 99 songs. Distinguish between the two. There's times that I wake up and there'll be a song on my heart, and I'm like, I ain't even awake yet, and I can hear it. It's coming from in here. It's not coming from up here. And I begin to sing that. And as I begin to sing that, the Spirit of God just begins to fill up on the inside of me. That's what he's talking. You have to draw from the well that's on the inside of you. But the thing about it, you never have to be thirsty again. Why? Because on the inside of you, according to the scriptures that we read, there is a well of living water on the inside of you. But me and you, we have to draw it. Start by singing. Start by singing psalms and hymns. He says, make a melody in your heart, not pretense, in your heart to the Lord. And then he goes on down and he says, and giving thanks. Oh, boy. You can give thanks in everything. I didn't say to give thanks for everything. We don't give thanks for car wrecks. That's dumb. We don't give thanks for sickness and disease. Come on now. We're redeemed from that. We rebuke that. Jesus didn't put that on us. He bore that for us. We don't give thanks for bad things, but we give thanks, God, that you're with me. You lead me, you guide me, you bring your word to me, you enlighten the eyes of my understanding, you show me what I need to see, you cause me to hear what I need to hear, you give me a word every time I need a word. And when your husband is on your last nerve and them clothes is in the kitchen floor, and he don't do that anymore, he picks them up now, praise the Lord. I guess after years, I finally got it. And quit rapping about it. Then he started picking them up, Johnny. I don't even have to say nothing now. Listen, if you keep going to a restaurant and your order is messed up every time, get a clue! Did you hear what I said? Get a clue. If something keeps happening over and over and over and you keep responding the wrong way over and over and over and over, get a clue, respond the right way, and it'll stop. See, Sandy, we like to think we grow on the mountaintops when we just feel so good and we just love everybody. They're like marshmallows. Oh, and Robert, oh, he's just the love of your life. Y'all don't never feel like that? Yeah, you're just like what is that, a s'mores? You just feel like a s'mores. I just love you. It's easy, Sandy, for me to be good to Scotty then. Oh, his fat little cheeks, you just kiss on them. But when I don't feel that, when I feel like I'd like to just smack his fat little cheeks, that's the time, by faith, I do the word. Did I go over there and kiss them fat little cheeks anyway? Y'all come on now. See, you only grow, you only develop muscle by using it. Ask Travis. He walked past the barbells for years on our back porch, that big old workout machine thing. He's looking at it. He looks at it every time he goes past. How much muscle did you build? Why? You was looking at it. See, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me and you, according to Galatians 5. According to Romans 5:5, the love of God, the agape, love of God. That love that never quits, never fails, never runs out, never can be done away with, never runs out, is on the inside of you, according to Romans 5:5, been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. But see, the first one he says over there in Galatians 5 is love. Everything else, love is like a curtain rod that peace, joy, right? All those others hangs on. And they're on the inside of me and you. But the only way those fruit grow and develop is by using them. That when I feel like I want to smack his little fat cheeks, because some reason or another I get up on the wrong side or he's done something, that I go on and I do those things that is good to him. And I be kind to him and I be good to him. And I walk and yield to the love of God. Right? That's the time I'm building that fruit on the inside of me is growing. See, you are not going to develop the love of God. It's in you, but you're not going to develop that love of God with everybody being nice to you. You need a good devil. Ain't nothing make you pray like a good devil. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Let one get to influencing your kids. I bet you you'll pray. Let your husband start yielding to it. I bet you you'll pray. But see, the rest of the time, I ain't got time to pray. I got to do this and this. No, you better make time to pray. Because see, you got to be drinking. Because if you're not drinking of the Spirit, you're going to be drinking from the world and the flesh. And if you're drinking from the world and the flesh, it ain't going to make good decisions. You're not going to yield to the Holy Ghost. You're not going to be led. Why? You're in a wrong spirit. You're yielding to a wrong spirit. It's the same as drinking the wine or the alcohol or being filled with the Spirit. We have a choice every day. Listen, you might think, well, I was filled with the Spirit in 1964. Well, good. But Sandy, I can't do some of the things that I have done before if I was filled with the Spirit. You won't. The Bible says if we yield to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust and desires of the flesh. Whether if that's to cuss somebody out, throat punch them, steal money, run off with a piano player. Right? You don't want to do those things. The thought might come, but because you're strong in your spirit, you'll say, absolutely not, you devil. Not today. Right? So, we're going to have to drink. Every day you're going to have to draw water out of that well that's on the inside of you. There can't be none of this. I don't have time. You don't have time not to. Maybe you don't have time first thing in the morning and you already get up so early you can't get up earlier. Do it in the evening then. Set a certain time that you go and you do that, that you spend time with Him. And listen, don't go in there with pretense and all of this. Just go in there and just talk to Him. Don't ask Him for a bunch of stuff. Maybe you need stuff, but sometimes, Sandy, when I think I need something, excuse me, but I actually enter into His presence, it's like it don't even matter. And it comes. See, the devil would like for us to spend all of our time that we call praying and spending time with the Lord, asking for things, meeting our needs, praying, paying our bills. And he said he promised he would do all of that. So why do we have to spend all of our time praying about that? We don't. We believe him for that. We thank him. We praise him. We worship him. And as we do that and give him thanks, we start getting filled up with the Spirit of God. Amen? All right. We just got a few minutes left. Let's see here. Let's look at Psalm 23. This is very familiar scriptures. Most everybody, if you've been to a funeral, you've heard them. I don't know why they use Psalm 23. That's not for dead people. Thank you, Johnny. Psalm 23 is not for dead people. It's for live people. Very, very familiar scriptures. Excuse me. I think I want this in the Amplified. If you don't have one, Beth or Samantha, put it on the screen. This is David. Now, you got to remember who David was. He had been anointed as a teenager to be a king, but he's not a king yet. And the king that is over the land at the time, he has become corrupt and very ungodly. To the point to where a demon actually comes and tortures and torments him at different times. So David, at different times, he has to run from Saul for years and years because Saul is out to kill him. You understand what I'm talking about? For those of us that maybe haven't heard it yet. So this man, I mean, he knows about trouble. He knows about devil. He knows about doing without. But he also knows about God is my source and the very lover of my soul. So he says here, the Lord is my shepherd. Now when you think about this, think about sheep, because the Bible says we are his sheep if we've been born again. And he is our shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd, it says, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. So he'll feed you, he'll guide you, and he'll shield you, right? He says, and I shall not lack. I won't lack finances. My God knows I have need of them. I won't lack peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? He said he gave us his peace, right? He said not as the world gives. Gave us his peace. So I shouldn't be lacking anything. And if I am, I can go to him and he's the supply. It says he makes me lie down in fresh. Thank you, Lord. Tender green pastures. Now think, if you're a sheep, what that's like to you. Woo, you have hit the jackpot. Fresh. Tender. Green. But some people, they think God is a God that he gives you the brown, the stubble, the leftovers. But that's not what he says, right? Green, fresh, tender pastures. He goes on and he says, he leads me beside the chaotic waters. No. He leads me. But you got to be listening for his leading. Sometimes it's just really, really small on the inside. But he says, he'll lead me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself, my soul. That's what happens when you come and you start drinking, lifting him up. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to have to stop. It says uprightness and right standing with him. We've been made in right standing with him, right? Not for my earning it. Not for my being good all the time. For what? His name's sake. Who is his name's sake? Jesus. I get it because Jesus took it. I didn't deserve it, but he did. And so therefore, everything that he deserved, by God's grace, he gives to me and you. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments right quick before we close? All right, well, recess till 11.